T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I love Lionel Richie. Do me a favor.
Ceiling has gone up.
How old is Lionel Richie now?
Could be like close to...
He's probably your age.
75, 76 years old. But he looks great. No, he looks great, doesn't he?
Do me a favor. This
he looks
weekend,
great. His voice still is pretty good.
4th of July weekend. Okay, I want you guys to just go on like Spotify or iTunes, whatever it is that you do, and just type in Lionel Richie. And look at all the unbelievable, cool-ass sing-along, just get fired up songs that Lionel Richie has, including his time with the Commodores.
I was going to say, can we just sell on the Commodores?
Stuff. Yeah, Commodore stuff was, great.
He gets a little love songy and ballady with Ballerina Girl and some of his solo stuff, but Lionel Richie is strong.
Easy
any
is
day.
A wonderful song by the Commodores.
Easy like Except Sunday morning? I mean, let's go!
I have a complaint about Lionel Richie, because the Commodores were great, and then he was great as a solo act. And then it was almost like he sat back on his laurels. And he was doing a lot of concerts across the country in smaller venues, which, you know, the B talent does, C talent does. And he became that guy. And I could never understand why he didn't do more.
Quick Super Bowl story, you know, and then we'll get to why we're playing this song, or why Ryan played it. I don't know why. He was, you know, he's smart.
Because you're changing your ceiling.
No,
you said 10 wins with Jared Stidham.
I'm raising the roof.
You said 10 wins with Cam Newton, which I don't understand how either one of you guys could say it's nothing's changed or won. But you said the ceiling.
I think I need to raise the roof.
Sure.
Because I think, because I'm all about feeling comfortable. Because I was at 10 with Stidham as your quarterback.
Wait a minute. 10 was like a...
I was pushing
more
it.
Like faith.
That was blind faith. It was... There's a long
track record.
You
weren't comfortable. You didn't believe it.
I was, but screw it. I said it. I'm going to own it. But when talking to Baldinger, I was sitting there going, man, you know, he mentioned Ryan Tannehill. And then everyone's trying to figure out what this offense is going to look like. It's going to look like the Tennessee Titans. Look at their receivers. Look at the Tennessee Titans receivers.
A.J. Brown.
Big dudes.
Pretty good.
Big physical dudes. And there's the other guy who went to, I can't remember his name. Anyways.
Jonnu Smith.
Big physical guys. They want to run the football. Same mentality. The defense is okay. But listen, they chew up the clock. They don't let Ryan Tannehill make any mistakes.
You have Derrick Henry? I wasn't sure. Which one is he? Is he Sony Michelle?
Doesn't matter.
Playing the role of Derrick Henry.
Hold on.
Sony Michelle.
No, I'm just saying.
Derrick Henry was their offense. I'm sorry.
So
Ryan Tannehill would limit the mistakes. I give him credit for that. He was a nice game manager.
He was.
But Derrick Henry was the story. And by the way, that's why I think Tennessee is going to take a step back or two, because you can't do it consistently with running backs.
I think there's this misnomer that Cam Newton is going to be running Lamar Jackson's offense.
No.
He isn't.
No.
He was good at it.
But he didn't have that speed.
My point is that he's
a bigger body.
Ryan Tannehill, first of all, was a receiver in college that went back to playing. So he was fast and he could run. But they don't want him to be a running quarterback. They want him to have the ability to run, which is what Cam Newton is. They don't want Cam Newton to be a running quarterback. They want him to have the ability and use that ability when it comes up. But the whole limiting the mistakes, being real, you know, conscious about his surroundings and his circumstances, playing, you know, complimentary football. Wow, it's the first time we've heard it this year. Complimentary football.
So what's the ceiling?
11.
Why did we waste the time? You moved it up one game.
This tease. He called for Lionel Richie. He wants a new ceiling. He drops 10 on Stidham, 10 on Cam, and but the ceiling has moved to 11. What are you doing?
Well, hold on. But here's what happens. And wait a second. If Cam Newton as their quarterback with the schedule that they have.
I don't think they would
have
won 11 with Brady.
Holy buckets. I don't either. Yeah, they would have.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, I think they would have been.
Every year, they never win anything.
I would have said, like, 10 with Brady. That's why I go 9 with Cam. I go 6 with Stidham.
And when you're playing craps, I know I can go a hard 10. Can I go a soft 11?
Soft 11?
Can I say soft 11? Yeah. I'm not really comfortable with it, but I'm going to go soft. Wait, is that a gambling term? I'm asking the gambler here.
No, I mean, soft 11. 10,
hard
8.
10 works. Hard 8.
2 fives, 2 fours.
Yeah, I get it.
What's a soft 11? 6-5.
Sure.
Okay. Soft
would
11.
I say that? I would say that when I'm playing.
7-11.
Soft 11. 7-11. Yep. Backdoor Little Joe, right?
Yeah, sure. Go there.
All right, back to the phone calls. Case is in Boston. Hello, Case.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, Case?
What's up? Not much. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I've been here just listening to everything. Really, my point was, Cam Newton is much better than Jarrett Stidham. I think we know that. I feel like we're almost comparing Stidham to what's his name, Aaron Rodgers, and
no,
Brady with Brett Favre.
No, but
you
don't know what Stidham
like
is.
He's of that caliber, which he's not. He's a fourth round draft pick. We don't even know if he can really. Ten games, 9 games is
right.
Too much.
We don't know what he is. We don't know what he is. I don't know where you're coming
up. We really don't know what he is.
But where are you coming up with Aaron Rodgers? Nobody's comparing him to Aaron Rodgers.
No, but that's what you're basically doing.
No, nobody's doing that. You're making that all up right now.
Let him go. Why do you say that, Case?
Let me tell you. Because you're saying, okay, why wouldn't – first you're wondering why we signed Cam Newton and why didn't we sign him earlier? And we let Brady go because we have Jarrett Stidham. So you're implying that Jarrett Stidham is Aaron Rodgers, Brady's Brett Favre. We let him go because we knew what we had in him.
You're making this
so now
up.
We have this great guy behind us. So
oh, that's
I know what I'm talking about. That's
nobody's
what
saying
implying.
That. Nobody's saying that.
Well, that's closer to what you...
Glenn,
no, I'm just saying, I can
that.
See where he
no,
would think
I, Glenn
that.
No, Glenn was not saying that.
No, I can see where he's think that, Glenn, because you said the reason why they let Brady leave is because they have Stidham.
No.
They're comfortable with him.
I'll repeat what I said. And I said, for all of that time, they looked at letting Tom Brady go. They had an opportunity to reel him back in. Bill Belichick is not the type of coach, and we've seen it over the years, general manager, who's not going to do all of the extra things you need to do to make sure every single position is taken care of. So suddenly, he's not going to reel Brady in. And he doesn't go out and draft anybody. He doesn't go and sign another quarterback in the offseason.
He's comfortable with Stidham.
That tells me that they feel comfortable
That's
with Stidham. Nobody's saying Aaron Rodgers.
No,
they
no.
feel comfortable no,
just,
with him.
Well, I'm just saying when, yeah, they, Brady
they
walked.
They could have signed Cam
and
a
Brady
month ago.
Walked, and he walked because they were comfortable with Stidham. So, sure. Yeah, they're not saying he's going to be Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't a first-round pick. But I would agree with him because I mean, really, if you kind of go back and you read and you see the tweets and you listen to interviews, man, it was amazing how many people are praising Jarrett Stidham for what he's already shown. I've heard people say that.
Where?
What he's already shown in training camp. Analysts. What he's already shown. Against who? Against guys that are getting cut
where,
in this league or guys
picking
that aren't
this up? I heard,
in this
I heard them bring this up on NBC Sports Boston the other night. And Phil Perry said the same thing. Phil Perry said, we praised him because he played well in a couple of preseason games. As an analyst, you watch the game and you sit there and go, Jesus, this Jarrett Stidham is pretty good in this game. It's a preseason game. Nobody's sitting there saying he's the next Aaron Rodgers. What analyst is sitting there? What most people are saying is, based on the actions of Bill Belichick, He must really like this guy. And then some people started hearing stuff internally within the organization in which they were nodding their head and saying,
they were told.
We do like him. We think he's smart. We think he's picking this stuff up very quickly.
Nobody debates that they really
but
like
nobody,
him.
Nobody, but where did this narrative suddenly pop up now where people were have been praising the hell out of Jarrett Stidham? Who's been doing that?
Seriously?
Everybody Seriously. Has been Who? Praising the
Who?
Hell out
give me,
of him.
Give me a quote from somebody.
Oh give God, you a Glenn. Quote. I'm going to go to YouTube.
Glenn, are you... Serious? Like,
I'm
don't
serious.
Think people have been hyping up Jarrett Stidham in
they
the last
have
2 months?
They have not. They praised
no.
him.
No, Glenn, again, you were doing it.
What did I say about Jarrett Stidham? I'm praising him. I've constantly said I have no idea what he is, Christian.
You have been
I repeat it again. Why don't you record it so you can hear it again?
Hold on, wait. Say it again. Ready? Go.
I have no idea what he is.
But are you None. Honest to God saying it, that when Lou asked you, when Lou said that people were pumping this guy up like crazy, you're saying that you have not heard that? And you want me to start giving
No,
you
I
names?
Heard them talking about this on NBC Sports Boston the other day, and Phil Perry brought up a great point. He said, the only thing we've been doing is we praised him for a couple of preseason games. Then the other thing that reporters have been doing out there is they have been hearing that they do like him internally.
What about
Mike Reese did it again yesterday.
What about all the analysts that we've had on the show, all the scouts, all the analysts, all the scout guru guys that we had that week of the week that liked him in college. That all said he was a first round pick.
I thought he was a liked first round quarterback everyone, last year coming everyone. Out of Auburn. I really think this is plan A for the New England Patriots. I think they saw enough from him last year to go, okay, this.
I think that's accurate, though. I think it is plan A.
But Glenn, the fact that you and others feel like they can win 9 or 10 games with Jarrett Stidham, I would say is pumping up some tires.
Well,
like,
not because of the quarterback, but because of the defense, because of the offensive line. And as Christian has pointed out many times, they're going to change their offense. So I think that coaching staff, yes, I think they can win 9 or 10 games. I do.
Well, we heard differently. I think people pumped the hell out of this kid. And then they sort of, their opinions started to grow because they felt like Belichick was on their side. And then it turned into, I'm telling you, you know, they love him and they're going to go with him and he's their guy and everything that they've done this offseason tells you that. They didn't draft anybody. They didn't sign anybody. Stidham's
their guy.
Well,
that's all accurate, though, is it
not? I think they can win 9 or 10 games, but the opinion started to get stronger and stronger. And it was like, man, nobody really knows if this guy can win or not. Oh, then it turned into they're going to still win the East in 9 or 10 games. I would say that is pumping up tires to think that this kid was going to be able to win 9 or 10 football games in the NFL, given that schedule.
No, that's different. That's trying to justify why a guy like Bill Belichick would not go out there and get another quarterback. And so you come to
that
the...
That was in Bill We Trust. So Bill's not doing it, so this they must you love come, this guy.
Well, they didn't pursue a quarterback in the offseason. Right. They lose
I think
the greatest quarterback in history.
And I think guys like Phil Perry and Tommy Curran, you know, were getting fed information. Because the Pats, you know, were probably looking to improve the quarterback situation. They realized that they might not find him. You know, we had interest in Cam, but hey, he could sign anywhere. So we're going to pump the kid up a little bit. And I think a lot of local people were fed that information. And now they're coming out saying, we never really said he was that good. I mean, you know, so I think they're getting a little defensive too. I think you're seeing a lot of that right now. Since the signing of
Well,
Cam
what
Newton.
I'm hearing from most people is we don't know what he's going to be like. The guys you were talking about were guys that saw him in college. I didn't watch him in college. I've seen him highlights of college. That's what I've seen. So I didn't watch an awful lot of him in college. Those guys are talking about what he was as a college player. But I think most of the people here are looking at Bill Belichick's actions. Belichick does not leave any stone unturned. So why would he not go and get a quarterback? And even the way they pursued Cam Newton, they really didn't. They got him because Cam got desperate and came knocking at their door saying, please, will you take me now for veteran minimum? 31 other teams said no, including some teams that could use him. And you sit there and say, well, why? Well, Belichick's looking at it that it's great value. He's got nothing to lose in this case.
Well, I would say one thing you have to lose is, as you said before, one of the reasons why they let Tom Brady go was because they were comfortable with Stidham. That says a lot. I mean, to me, that if you feel that way, that means a lot. That means that, man, this kid's good. Okay, so that opinion right there tells me that this kid's really good. And what you have to lose is you truly got a kid that you like, who I think everybody agrees with. There isn't a single debate that the Patriots don't like Jared Stidham. Everybody knows they like him. The downside is you'd still never find out if he can play in this league because Cam Newton starts this year. And next year, all the benefits of having this young quarterback who makes mistakes early on, pre-Cam Newton, the discussions we had, Stidham's going to make mistakes. And if he can continue to get better week in, week out, by the end of the year, even if you are an 8-8 team, a 7-9 team, but you see it, you're going to sit there and say, man, they're in good shape. And like we talked about, you could turn this thing around quick with all the money you get to spend. They're in really good shape if you can find that type of young quarterback. You may never find out what Jared Stidham is this year. That's your downside. And you could be in the exact same boat next year, not knowing if this kid can play on Sunday in the NFL.
Yeah, I think they'll know enough about him, and if he can't beat out Cam Newton,
they won't know anything more than they know right now if he never plays in a football game.
Yeah, but I think Belichick is putting him in a position where go beat out Cam Newton for the job, and if you can't, you're the backup.
I know. I'm just saying, if he never plays in a football game on Sunday, you won't know anything more than you know right now. You like him, but you don't know how he's going to react on Sunday. You won't know anything more than you do now.
Here's Bob in Rhode Island. I think they will, but here's Bob in Rhode Island. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Bob.
Hey, I've been trying to call a couple of times because I was thinking, so go back to 2000, and let's say, hypothetically, the Patriots released Drew Bledsoe, and Bill Belichick names Tom Brady the starter. What would be the critics' reactions to a six-round draft pick starting for the Patriots in 2000? Now, keep in mind, when the way that Bledsoe was playing that year, I thought the Patriots had a great team.
I would say, however, it's a ballsy move by Bill by starting a kid drafting a sixth round over a proven quarterback like Drew Bledsoe. And if it turned out the way it did, we'd say he's a genius. But at the time, a lot of people disagree.
I think Brady was going to eventually be the starter of that team anyway, over Bledsoe. Had Bledsoe not gotten hurt, I still think Brady would have got that opportunity. All right, we'll get into the NBA, and the NBA actually now is thinking about expanding the bubble, believe it or not, even though they don't have the first bubble all figured out. It's hard to believe, but that's where they are right now. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids, number one charity for car donations.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie. who are in New York, who can go into the facility, play socially distanced, kind of do a workout. They're not having contact with each other on the court.
Right.
So if someone's testing positive, it's coming from outside the facility, presumably, and that's the belief here. But both players would potentially have time to get past the symptoms, get to Orlando. They don't have to play a game till July 30th, but DeAndre Jordan has already ruled himself out, and there's concern on the Nets that as they lose more players, as they become less competitive, that it's causing other players to wonder, is it worth me going to play?
All right, so they're all going to Florida. They're going to Orlando, the NBA, and there's a slight problem down there in the Orlando area, Florida. They have increased, there's been a spike in the number of cases fivefold in the last week. Fivefold. So that's a slight issue, and it's scaring some of these guys away. You've also got guys who Wojnarowski just said are testing positive. And then you get this Sam Amick piece on the eight teams that are not going to Orlando. Where he's getting this, I have no idea. All those players face the prospect of going nearly 6 months without facing NBA opponents. And sources say there is significant support for most of those teams for the possibility of a secondary campus site where they would train, compete, and even play televised games in much the same way they plan to in Orlando. Is this insane or what? They already are having trouble putting together the first primary plan.
They're getting paid? Like, is it summer league? Like, cause you saw that too. Like, you know, could they have like a summer league type situation where, hey, do you want to come down and play? Or is this, we're going to finish out our schedule. We're going to play eight, maybe while they're playing the playoffs. Maybe we finish it out altogether. Maybe we play 16, 18 games, whatever we need.
How enticing is that, though, for players on the eight teams that did not make this tournament in Orlando to come on down anyway? We're going to do something else in another, but who wants to do that right now?
Well, again,
how are you going to get players to do that?
Are they going to get paid?
Yeah. And how are they going to get paid? Who's going to pay them?
Well, I mean, if they're playing basketball, let's just go on the assumption that they're getting paid. No, none of those guys are playing for free. Right?
Is it a summer league, or is it like, who's coming up with this idea? We're going to play the rest of the regular season. Teams aren't in the playoffs. We're going to just play it through just to get our guys some work. But we're going to be on locally, TV, local markets, and we're going to get paid. I think it's ridiculous. Okay? I think it's dumb. I think right now, people are just kind of getting greedy at this point. And, you know, I know that we're getting closer because the calendar is telling us, but I felt like we're getting farther away from sports right now. So this talk about a second bubble when we don't know if the first bubble will work, and we don't know if teams that actually have something to play for, if their players actually want to show up or not, I think we should deal with what's important first. And that is getting that first league, the one that matters, up and running.
Suppose Florida changes the numbers like Texas just did for how many people can assemble in one area. It's down to 50 now in Texas. Suppose they do that in Florida because they're closing all the bars. They're getting a surge mainly because, and they're finding out it's younger people. So it's people who are hanging out at the bars, close contact with other young people, and they're all testing positive. Now, the good news is those people are not going to die. At least we don't think they are based on the statistics we're looking at right now. But if those numbers continue to spike in Florida, what happens to the NBA?
Shouldn't affect them.
Well, they're in a bubble. That's why you're in a bubble.
Right. I mean, if you're going to say the state of Florida can only have 20 people, it's like, well, except for the bubble thing that's going on in Orlando, because they're in a bubble.
That's the very, you're working off the premise that the bubble protects you.
Yeah.
You're inside the bubble, you're safe. You go outside the bubble,
you're in trouble.
And then when you go outside the bubble, you can't come back because now the people inside the bubble are going to be like, why is he back? He went out. He's going to get us all sick. So it is funny, though, because before, if you listen to the news and you watch the numbers, you would sit there and think, we are a week away from being right back where we were 3 months ago.
Who that?
With Fauci and the rates. And if we keep going this way, I'm paraphrasing things that he's been saying. If we keep going at this rate, we'll have 100,000 cases a day. A day. Mm. So that doesn't really.
Across the country.
As far as, not in Massachusetts, but as far as optics, man, Army's going to have a field day with this one. I mean he's just been lying and just waiting to just kind of attack.
Here comes Pandering Man flying in.
See, the other issue that they had is when they were all talking about doing this, that's why I'm looking at the Sam Amick piece right now, and he's claiming sources say Las Vegas and Houston were among the cities mentioned by the league general managers as possible locations on a Thursday call. Well, Vegas and Houston are two cities right now that are spiking. And Orlando and all of Florida is spiking. So when they originally talked about these plans, these were the places they thought were the safest to go to. The NHL kept on bringing up Vegas, remember? Because they thought it was going to be a safe place to go to. Those are not safe places now if you're looking at the overall numbers.
Well, but also, I don't really feel like they had a lot of options because, one, they needed someplace that was, we'll call it safe. Two,
bubble.
Where they had the ability to create this bubble. Resources, lots of space, lots of hotels, lots of dining facilities, lots of arenas where they can play, and the capacity for guys to hang out there for a long period of time. Vegas was one because it's Vegas.
Hotels,
right? It's like a Super Bowl for 2 months. L.A., the Staples Center, that whole area had a lot of underground walkways and lots of hotels and just lots of space where they could create that bubble. So that's why you didn't hear it in Boston. You didn't hear it in Miami. You didn't hear it in Denver. They don't have the resources to do it. They don't have they couldn't pull it off. But the bubble alone, I would assume there's an algorithm that protects them from this. You know, somebody actually plug this number in and say, okay, if this happens, numbers go to this. We're safe. Do you lower the steel doors at that point? Don't let anybody in. Don't let anybody out.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the benefits they have. And the NHL, they still don't have a hub cities yet.
No, they're coming close to announcing them.
Edmonton, Toronto, Chicago, and Vegas.
Right.
I actually talked to someone today, and they believed that it was Toronto and Vegas. But, we'll see. But they haven't come out with it yet. They're sort of holding out, right, because things are changing left and right. It's those scenarios, no matter what goes on in Florida, it's still going to be easier for them. Even though they're in Florida, than say baseball. I mean, you see baseball, what's going on. You got four players just yesterday said, I'm done.
Yeah.
And none of them are considered high risk. None of them. You got Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross. Joe Ross's dad's a doctor. His mom's a nurse. He's in the front of it. He sees it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Zimmerman just had a baby 3 weeks ago. He's got three other kids. He's done. Ian Desmond's wife is pregnant. He talked a lot about what's going on in the world, Black Lives Matter, and being there as a father with his kids and have to answer questions about and what's really important in life. Then you got Leak, who nobody really knows what. I mean, I know his father's actually was paralyzed in 2013 and wants to just maybe stay there and not have to do this. But these are guys that are that aren't considered high risk. So how many players just before we even start say, I'm done in baseball before the tests even come out?
Well, I think the other factor you have with baseball is there's a bad taste in their mouth for the negotiations and what happened, and they felt they got screwed. So any little thing that pops up right now, they're going to react a little bit differently. But as far as the NBA can do it, providing they're willing to ignore optics, man. It's as simple as that because the numbers are going to go up. A lot of these guys are going to test positive. And again, we know the numbers. It's not going to necessarily affect them that much. We're hearing it down in Florida with a lot of young people who are getting, some flu-like symptoms, things like that. But the deaths are still coming from old people.
To me, it all comes down to, okay, so we're all assuming that you took time to set up this plan. You crossed your T's, you dotted your I's, you measured three times, you cut once. So you should have an answer for what happens when. Hey, what happens when the numbers spike across the country? Well, nothing. We're still going on. Well, but that's a bad look. Well, we created a bubble to protect us from this. And we gave you a huge Wells Report-like book that had all the stuff in it. So I would say that, so what if it's going off? It's going crazy in all these other parts of the country. It doesn't matter. If you have the courage of your decision making, then and the conviction of your courage decision making, then you shouldn't even. Yeah, care.
And I don't know if they do. And that's going to be the question because we said this all along. There are going to be positive cases, and so you just have to fight through it. But will they buckle under with media pressure, with pressure from people. Will they do that? And Florida could be, you know, an out of the control train here in the next month. Is the NBA willing to fight through it? If they are, they're going to be fine. 617-779-7937. Cam Newton still has not taken a physical. That's interesting. Still has not taken a physical. Why? We'll get to all of that and more coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You okay, Jared? You okay, baby? Oh, dear, baby.
You want to take a snap from David Andrew?
The baby talk right here on OMF.
Lot of baby talk.
Baby talking.
Thought this was quite interesting that Mike Reese broke this story a couple days ago as the Cam Newton story was being reported. He was reporting that the Patriots were going to get fined $1.1 million. Lose a third-round draft pick, and the Kraft Productions, they're going to be shelved for the next year going to NFL games. And now he comes out and says that the Patriots are not going to challenge it.
What do you say? So that's our admission of guilt, right?
Move on.
It's just, okay, fine, whatever.
Has it really worked in the past, has it?
No, it's never worked, to be honest with you. To me, this was... the biggest sham of all shams, based on what happened, the clearance that they got, this was all about just history of the team and some hardo security guard trying to make a name for himself.
We said from day one when this thing happened, whatever the penalty is, it's going to be a stupidity penalty.
Yeah.
You're getting this because you're dumb, honestly. And like you can blame the producer, the cameraman, whatever you want. You are the New England Patriots. You can't be the organization that gets caught doing this.
Yeah.
As meaningless as it is, you need to be more careful. So whatever the penalty was, and honestly, I was surprised that it was, okay, what, a third-round draft pick?
Yes.
$1.1 million
Which we expected.
Right.
We talked about that, a big fine. That's
I was thinking,
than the previous.
Fifth or sixth. I was thinking fifth or sixth-round draft choice.
Now, third is a significant
third
draft pick.
Is because it's the New England Patriots.
Yes. And it's the
and
third
that's where
offense.
The stupid fine
third
comes
time
in.
They've screwed up.
Yeah.
I tell you what, as soon as it happened, I think everybody was probably like, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, I think it was less about anger, but more about, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're just shaking your head in bewilderment, thinking out of all the teams to be accused of something, this is the one team that can't do it.
Right.
But are you freaking kidding me? You're trying to remove yourself from all the old issues, even though you never really run away from them. There's still a stank attached to you, but you just try to run away from it and give some more distance so you can say something like, I mean, God, we haven't had something in 20 years. Are you kidding me? That was 20 years ago, but you know what? Now you can't do that ever.
But the guys that were doing it were not thinking that. They weren't part of that. So if Belichick had done it again, or people within the football operations, you'd sit there and say, yeah, what the hell are you thinking? But they weren't. And the guy that did it is no longer there. He's gone.
Well, they got rid of him right away.
But I thought it was...
damage is done, my friend.
But notice the NFL has not released this... this information yet. It's not been released. Have we seen it, Tyler? Have you seen it from
nothing
the NFL?
Official, nope.
Nope. So what the Patriots did is they snuck this one out, figuring they could bury it because they're signing Cam Newton. And guess what? It worked. Have you watched these shows?
Oh, yeah,
have you seen anybody talking about it?
No, they absolutely buried it. And to be honest with you, it sounds more like, as you had mentioned before, that Cam Newton hasn't taken his physical yet, right?
He has not.
So they knew that this report was going to come out with the fines. And at that point, they're like, well, we're not ready to announce Cam because we haven't given his physical. But now might be a nice time to do it.
Let's double up.
We'll leak it.
So they absolutely leaked it to get you to stop talking about the fines and suspensions.
Call up Reese. We need to get this other story out. See if we can bury it.
No, but I mean, this is just a stupidity fine.
Yeah.
And you know, it's tough. And they shouldn't fight it. They shouldn't. They should look at it and say, we've got to be better. Like, given our history, we got to be better. Like, this is ridiculous.
See, this is where Optics Man could be, you know, could save the day. Hey, listen, hey, dude, this is going to look really bad. Instead of being the nemesis of the world opening up again, the Optics Man could very well be an ally. Dude,
it's
listen.
Hey, Optics Man.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't understand how bad this looks. I'm here to save the day. Okay, you know what? Probably shouldn't be filming another team's sideline. Like, period.
Right.
But I got clearance. It still looks really, really bad. But I got clearance. No, it doesn't matter. There's going to be an issue.
So here's my guess. My guess is, and we know the Kraft Productions cannot do any of this stuff for the entire season, as the league has suspended their access. But my guess is that Belichick is going to have far more control over any of this stuff being done with cameras. Because the thing that's going to piss him off the most, because he doesn't care that Kraft Productions is sidelined for a year, he's probably happy. The $1.1 million fine is not going to affect him. But the third round draft pick is really going to piss
him
off.
That one's going to bite.
That's going to piss him off.
Yeah.
Unless they keep Cam Newton for the entire year and then he goes to free agency and you get the compensatory third round pick, you get it back.
So what if in imagination land or in some sort of alternative universe, or there is the only reason why they brought Cam in is because they agree with you. they agree with you. So one, hey, you know, this guy serves two purposes. One, because we really don't like him. We're going to act like we do, okay? But listen, we need to scare Stidham straight. We need to scare him to think, because he thinks he's got the job. So we need to teach him a lesson. That's what it's about. One, we're going to teach Jared Stidham a lesson. Two, guys, we're going to get that pick back. Let's do it. That's kind of messed up. Who cares? But he won't be able to play for another team.
Technically, they're
going to
get that pick back anyways, right? Because it's a year later. So that pick that they lose, they're going to get back for losing Brady, Van Noy.
But it's still one less one they have.
Yeah.
They could have more, but they still want to get it back.
And it's a
formula. They want to hoard stuff.
Yeah. So you want to get as many as possible. Listen, anything is possible.
Anything
in all of
is
this.
Possible?
But what has happened do you guys believe that something has happened with Jarrett Stidham in the last couple of weeks that they suddenly said, now we got to get Cam Newton?
No, I think they always knew it. Personally, I think they always knew it. And they just, we could talk to a blue in our face about why other teams didn't sign him. And I think, honestly, you can go through each and every team and make a reason why. Give you a reason why they didn't sign him. And I guarantee the Patriots looked at it the same way. And they said, you know what? There's a very good chance that he doesn't have a job. And we end up with Cam. You know, you believe the reports, they reach out with him when camp started. So I think he was always in play. I really do. And I know it's risky. There's no question about it. So you have to be somewhat comfortable to roll the dice, be willing to go with Stidham. I think they like Stidham, but I don't think anything has changed. I think they realize that he's just not ready, even though they like him. He's not ready to start in this league.
So why haven't they given a physical yet? Because that's the biggest question of them all. You got a guy that's had two shoulder surgeries and a foot surgery, and didn't play after the first two games last year, and you haven't done the physical yet?
That is so because
Tampa Bay did a physical with Gronk. Teams are doing physicals out there.
Normally they would have done the physical.
When you fly out.
No, but do the physical and then announce you're signing them. But you had to rush the announcement because your fines and penalties came out from Spygate 2.0.
You're trying to double dip.
So you're like, listen, we can't wait till this coming weekend. Cam's coming in on Thursday to do his physical, announce it on Friday. No, we can't. We got to announce it today because of what just happened to take the heat off of us. I think that probably played a role in it. Makes sense.
Yeah, that could be a factor. Joe is in Tampa. Next up here in OMF. Hi, Joe.
Belichick loves Cam Newton so much, and he went up against him twice, and Cam Newton beat him both times. Now, they showed the game last night on the NFL channel, and Cam Newton dominated the game at one point in time. He completed 21 passes out of 25 and ran at will and was obviously the best player on the field. And when they interviewed Belichick after the game, he didn't know what to say about the kid. He had no idea how to defend the kid. And he called him public enemy number one, and he raved about
it. That was before the game, though, Joe. That was the Wednesday before the game.
Yeah, but he dominated the game,
yeah.
Cam Newton.
No, you're absolutely right. Because I think Bill looks at quarterback, and he's like, okay, how hard is it to defend this guy? He's been going up against him for years. I mean, he's only had one. So he's constantly going up against Mahomes or Cam Newton or you name the guy. There's no question that when he watches film and he puts a game plan together, he's truly concerned about a quarterback and what he can do physically or whatever. I don't know how Cam Newton, you know, back when they played back then, how he was a huge concern. Given how he was playing this football game. So I think that's what Bill looks at.
Yeah.
He'd love to coach that guy because he knows how difficult he is to game plan against.
3 years ago. But again, this is a no-brainer, going out and getting him. You get absolutely nothing to lose. 3 weeks into camp, you could say goodbye to him, and you just move on, and it cost you absolutely nothing. Maybe he is so motivated, and you know he's really worked at it in the offseason, that he comes out and he's great. Maybe he's back to where he was in 2015, and you got him for cheap dollars. There's absolutely nothing to lose in this one. Brian's in New Hampshire. Brian.
Hey, guys. You know, listening to the whole logistics of the NHL, where are they going to play? You know, it's like 2 months ago they decided Las Vegas and wherever else. And you got to look at the numbers with this whole COVID. If I was the NHL, you know, I would say, look at the numbers today, and the Northeast is where we should be playing. You got eight teams from the West because the numbers are low.
But hold on. What's it going to be like 30 days from now? Because what Massachusetts is doing and New York and New Jersey are doing is exactly what Florida and Texas and Alabama were doing 30 days ago, opening up back to society.
Well, I'm not really exactly talking about Mass. Like, you know, they want to play in Vegas, you know, these big cities. But I think to get this thing done, you got to look at the rural areas, maybe Manchester, Burlington, Portland. You know, maybe they don't have the five-star hotels and restaurants. But if you want to get this thing done, this is what you got to do, and I don't think you should play in the 7-game series. Put it down to 5, and you could have this thing over in 6 weeks.
I'll say this, Brian. You know when they say, like, we're all in this together?
Oh, there's actually a song about it.
Yeah, that's a lie, okay? Because I'll tell you why. Because today, Massachusetts, we had, like, 70 cases and zero deaths. Zero deaths. And I would say, these leagues, stay the hell out of Massachusetts because I want to keep it at zero. You know, what's going on down in Florida, Texas, Arizona, all these other states? We already went through what we went through. Keep it at zero. I don't want more people coming in. I'm good. Talk about being selfish, not being this together. I want Massachusetts to keep running. That's what I want. I want restaurants to be successful. I don't want leagues coming to Massachusetts. I'd rather keep your ass out. I'd close the damn border. I'd say, you know, I don't care what goes on in the country. As long as our economy, we're doing our thing, we're going to work, and beautiful. That's beautiful.
By the way, I actually agree with you.
Zero deaths. You know. Yeah. They did that in New Zealand, and they haven't had deaths, I don't think, in weeks.
Well, see,
now.
The thing is, like,
they closed the border.
I remember that whole coalition that was like New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, and they were like just doing this whole thing where they were closing their borders, and you're going to have to, you know, quarantine and all this other stuff. Massachusetts, I am 100% on board with border checkpoints. Like, I want the whole little plastic white thing that comes down and everything. Like in East Germany, like the old days.
Like East Germany.
East Germany.
Boy,
with the little outhouse.
East Germany back in the 80s.
Yeah. New England states are doing good. Just shut it down. Yeah. That's it.
Don't let them in. Don't let them
people
in.
People down the Cape, they need to open up. They need to get going, enjoy the summer, make their money in Massachusetts. We just kind of go back to our lives. Hell, things going to Florida.
That is funny, though.
It's your turn.
So Massachusetts now.
You dealt with that a while ago. Keep it that way.
Zero deaths. And you're right.
Zero deaths.
The last caller is right. Man, we should have went to Mass.
Zero today.
But you know what? We weren't sitting there inviting people to come either.
But nothing's been open, guys. Nothing's been open. What happens when they open everything?
Well, they've been open for a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. But so they do these trending things, you know, on the dashboards. And it has like a little green dot, you know, COVID positive test rate. Green dot. That means a positive trend. Number of patients in hospitals. Green dot. Positive trend. They have number of individuals dying of COVID-19. Yellow. In progress. Nope. Today's death was zero. I would say we're beyond progress.
It's a work in
today
progress,
today was
Lou.
Zero. How can we be in progress when it was
it went less than zero?
Wait,
they want less
question.
Than zero.
Did they in count progress? I would say we're trending. Put a green dot next to the freaking deaths.
Did they count probable deaths?
There's no probables.
Okay.
There's no nothing.
I want to know.
But how can zero deaths not be a positive trend? How is that trending in progress? Zero deaths.
So that's the problem with trying to forecast all of this, is that Florida, Texas, these states are going through where they're opening the doors up to all of society once again. 30 days ago, they looked like the perfect place to go if you were one of these sports leagues and you wanted to put people in a bubble. Now they look like the worst places to go because they're spiking. So what's Massachusetts going to be like 30 days from now, now that we've got restaurants open and stuff like that? That will be the real test.
The first death in Massachusetts was March 20th.
Yeah.
Today's the first day we've had zero deaths since.
Wow.
And it's still not a positive trend.
So you're saying
just in progress.
I think it's
don't
a positive trend. I think it's a positive
come
trend.
Here and be
a I'm going to make
how
it a positive trend.
How can that be in progress? It's zero deaths. I would
positive.
Say put a freaking green dot next to that thing.
Yeah, I'd
right?
put a couple green dots. That's maybe weird, green weird. Stars.
It's a trend. Positive.
I would say
how
you've kind of reached. Wouldn't you say you've reached, this is like a landmark?
Yeah.
It's a milestone.
Yeah.
It's a milestone. You've reached a milestone. This is, you started with one. You've worked to get rid of all of them, and you've achieved it.
Yeah.
But, okay, so now you need 5 days in a row of zero.
Apparently.
And then that'll
that would
be another
a positive
milestone.
Trend.
And then,
if
then,
nobody dies
okay.
in five straight days, is that a positive trend?
Yes,
can we put a freaking green dot
well,
next
you,
to it?
You know how the graphs work? You need at least five of those little bullet points to actually show that the graph is getting better.
So would you open up the bars?
No.
You can't. See, that's what they did in
Florida.
No,
I would
that's
open
what
them
they did
up
in
responsibly.
Texas.
I would think, try to find a way
you
to
can't.
Give the bars a little something.
Now, the problem is you're coming in close contact
I
with people.
I take that back. Yes, I don't mean no. Yes.
Yeah, and you're
trying the way to do it.
Good luck. Good luck.
You see,
that green dot you've got for zero deaths, that goes away.
See, let's see how quickly, like, your natural reaction was, no, don't open it. Don't change anything.
I think bars is a little bit of chaos, though. That's the problem.
Bars are going to be difficult. It's like, it's
limit.
Like, it's, well, I would say the same thing. What about gyms? What about cycling classes?
Gyms
what about,
are fine.
I think gyms, you can work it out with separation, right?
But. Okay, I agree with you, but why are gyms are they're almost in the
because
same
I'm not
category?
Like
no, they're not the same category
you
as
like
a bar.
An hour and a half
are they open?
Talking to you
they're not
a bar.
Open. Gyms are not open. Cycling
You're doing
studios.
Squats. I'm doing bench. He's doing Glenn's doing legs.
Here's like, the thing.
You know, you just, back and buys. You know,
you don't ask for a spot,
Christian. You don't sit at a bar 6 feet away from somebody else.
I know, but gyms aren't open. Are your gyms open?
No,
how would you know?
The gyms, you can separate people. You can
they're
put
not
acrylic.
Open.
You can put acrylic.
They're not open.
I agree. But you asked, should they be in the same category? And my answer
no,
was
said,
no.
I feel like they're in the same category.
They are, but they shouldn't be. But bars is a problem because you have a prolonged conversation with somebody. One person has it. You're breathing on that other person. There's a good chance you're going to contract it. Okay, at a bar.
How many days in a row do we need zero deaths for it to be a positive trend?
I think it's a positive trend.
And by the way, when tomorrow and five people die, are we going to say that, oh, no, the numbers are going up?
Going yes. backwards. Going backwards.
How do you scare people all over again? So now the key
oh,
is
I think
to
people
keep them
are petrified
scared.
Right
you
now.
You got to keep them scared now. So now, listen, it showed that it works. I told you, if you go out there, the bears are going to get you. Well, I saw a bear. I told you the bears are out
like
there.
Every day I look up, I see like 30 deaths. I see like 25 from long-term health care.
I was hiking in the woods, and a moose grabbed me and threw me down.
Those people aren't in the workforce.
But doesn't the Florida
that would happen whether we're closed or not. Unfortunately, it sucks, but it's true. Zero deaths. That's
doesn't the Florida spike make sense, though, when you think of it has been really hot down there, really humid, so people are not in the outdoor places. They're going indoors now, and they're hanging out at those bars. Because they have followed it with a contact identity, and they're finding out that the people that tested positive have all been in these bars.
Yeah, but I thought the heat was supposed to kill it.
It does. Outdoors. They're coming indoors, Christian.
I know, but stay outside.
Well, that's the problem. They don't want to do it. See, we're going outside here in the Northeast, and they're going indoors because it's 100 degrees and humid as hell.
I will say this. Listen, right, you moved to Florida for a reason. Keep your ass outside.
Yeah. All right, we got another hour to go here at 617-779-7937. We'll go 30 minutes commercial free. And, of course, we're doing it all right here on our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI studios.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.